At this time, I would like to share a summary of some thoughts from our Director of Stewardship Development for the Diocese of Toronto, who would have been here with us today, but as mentioned earlier, because of a family emergency, he is not able to be present. And so I give you a summary of Peter's thoughts, Peter Mishashik, the Director of Stewardship Development. Stewardship has to do with having a generous spirit. And what does it mean to have a generous spirit? Well, Webster's Dictionary provides several definitions that are helpful. One definition is that a generous spirit is characterized by a noble and kindly attitude. Another definition goes something like this: giving or sharing in abundance and without hesitation. And another definition goes like this: being more than enough without being excessive. Well, the concept of generosity has many meanings, and often we equate it with giving money to charity or other civic groups. But being generous is much more than that. It also includes showing a readiness to give more of something, showing kindness towards others, giving or sharing, being unselfish, free from meanness or smallness of mind or character. Now that's a big idea, isn't it? And one the church has a lot to say about. In fact, Jesus speaks to the theme of generosity more than anything else in Scripture. Just think of some of these parables or teaching stories that quickly come to mind. The poor widow who gives her last 2 copper coins. The Good Samaritan who stops to assist a man overcome by thieves. The rich man who seeks eternal life but cannot give up his possessions when asked for by Jesus. And of course, the feeding of the 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And as we know from Scripture, there are countless others. Now, these are not meant just to be comforting words. They are weaved through the readings each Sunday to reinforce our understanding that giving is a good thing, that extravagant generosity is something worth aspiring towards. To be generous suggests that we approach one another with an open mind. It presumes that we engage with the world in a non-judgmental way and demonstrate tolerance for ideas and ways of doing things that are different than we are accustomed to. Jesus uses his experience with those who are on the margins of society time and time again to demonstrate what the kingdom of God is all about. And as Mother Teresa said, God does not care about your titles, our accomplishments, or great wealth. God only cares of our faithfulness. And as we know from Scripture, the poor widow was faithful. In his remarks, the Director of Stewardship Development mentioned the fact that he has been at the front row in looking at acts of generosity in the Diocese of Toronto. He has witnessed profound acts of giving and gratitude from young couples striving to make proportionate giving a reality in their life, to young children giving a portion of their weekly allowance. He has helped twin brothers in a parish set up a walkathon for faith works. And he has been on the receiving end of letters of thanks from clergy and lay leaders who have been helped with their congregational giving. The work of stewardship is gratifying. And I must add here that stewardship is a way of life. Stewardship as a way of life. Some other examples were quoted by Peter. And one of the things that he mentioned is that quite often, people who donate generously do not advertise their wealth nor seek attention for their generosity. On a personal note, some of us went to the convent yesterday. As you might recall, there was a quiet day at the convent. And in one of our reflections, Sister Connie mentioned that pretty much everything that's seen around the convent have been by donations, and most of them do not have a name on. Basically saying, given to the glory of God. Donors who do not want to be recognized. They have the means to live in great style, but choose to give it away instead. And we know of many persons who have decided to give away their wealth. They are so inconspicuous sometimes with their wealth that even in our parishes, we do not know as priests what people give and what people have. Peter mentioned, though, that sadly enough, he has encountered some people who believe that their act of giving ought to be seen by others and celebrated, hoping that every act of thanks is acknowledged. There are some who believe that significant generosity is an action only to be bestowed by the rich and famous. Christ, however, lived in a culture where giving was not an option. And we know from Old Testament scripture particularly, the tithe was normative practice for any observant Jew. And the tithe back then wasn't 1% or 2%. It was just what it says, a tithe, 10%. The first 10%, the first of the harvest, the firstborn, the newest wine, the best, off the top, not what was left over. Not an afterthought, not a maybe. Not after I've gone to the LCBO or bought lottery tickets. And these are Peter's words. 10% was just the start. Then there was a grain offering, a drink offering, offerings in the temple to celebrate birth and death. Offerings were made to celebrate the Passover. So the act of giving, or giving back, has been with us for centuries. Peter went on to mention a few other examples, which I'll move on because we have the second part of this presentation to come. Peter noted, however, in his reflection that St. George and Young has an amazing opportunity to grow and to thrive in the Diocese of Toronto, and I agree completely with Peter's comment here. For any church to grow, it needs patience, prayer, leadership, enthusiasm, and generosity. I just want to repeat those. Patience, prayer, leadership, enthusiasm, and generosity. Those are the observations of someone looking into the parish. People need to give up their time, their talent, and their money at a level that is a step above. It needs to be regular, reliable, and real. Why does the church need my money? One of those commonly asked questions. And I want to share this very quickly with you. I was never ever involved in a stewardship campaign as a young person in the parish where I grew up. It was a done deal that as soon as you got your first job, the curate at that time will give you a package of envelopes, and he would say something like this, which he said to me, "Leonard, I heard that you're working. It was only a Christmas job or something like that. Here are your envelopes." And it was an expectation. It was not a demand. It was just part of our Christian obligation and part of the way the parish worked. So why does the church need my money? Well, giving should never be taught except within the context of doing ministry. We give to the honor and glory of God. We brought nothing into this world, and we'll take nothing away. The church does not need money simply for the sake of amassing wealth. Rather, we give through the church so that we can passionately support worship, outreach, pastoral care, evangelism, education, and fellowship. Does God expect me to give if I'm facing serious financial burdens? This is what Peter suggests. Those who may be unemployed or facing serious financial burdens should consider how they might give of their time and talent to the church on a weekly basis and pray for the ministry of the church. And I must add here that quite often stewardship is associated with money only, but stewardship really is a lifestyle. How do we manage all of the gifts with which we've been blessed? Gifts of time, talent, and all other gifts. Geraldine is going to mention a few things about how we give our money, whether on pre-authorized giving, etc. But I just wanted to close this portion of the presentation with two quick thoughts from Peter. We can view the world through the eyes of the cynic, who sees nothing but corruption and therefore approaches the world with distrust, suspicion, sarcasm, and scorn. Similarly, we can engage the world and engage ourselves in the church with a generosity of spirit, where we greet people with trust, with openness, and compassion. Or we can choose to engage from the position of self-pity, envy, and disdain. Should we choose the former, we increase the probability of experiencing happiness in our lives. If we choose the latter, we increase the probability of feeling depressed and resentful. God invites us all to live abundantly. It is part of being a follower of Christ. And we have a choice. We can accept the invitation or let it pass by. So my sisters and my brothers in Christ, that's a summary of the thoughts from our Director of Stewardship Development, and I hope that those thoughts have resonated with you as much as they have resonated with me. And now we'll have our Chair of Stewardship, Geraldine Sperling, to say a few words.
Thank you, Father Leonard. No, I think I'm good. I've got a good loud voice. Everybody this morning got an envelope that looks like this, and what's inside it is a booklet called A Guide for Joyful Giving, and a green commitment card and an envelope. I just wanted to say a couple of things. One of them is that we've made the booklet a lot of fun for you. We've managed to staple it wrong so that it's not in the right order. I don't know if anybody has discovered that yet, but when you get a chance to take a look at it, pull on the staples. Oh, yes. Pull on the staples and just turn the piece of paper around the other way so that the pages read in order. We just thought that that would add just an amusing part of the whole stewardship campaign. You got to be able to laugh through these things. And as Father Leonard has said, we have a booklet that covers a number of areas. As you may know, there's a group of interested members of the congregation on a committee on mission action planning. We hope to continue to grow our congregation and to move into the future. And all of these things require resources, not only of money, but as Father Leonard has said, of time as well. So there are things in here that give you an idea of how you should be thinking in an intentional and prayerful way about what you give, how you can give. Our envelope secretary, Anne, who is sitting over here, will be very happy to talk to you about that, especially about pre-authorized remittance, which means that we contribute regularly, even though we may not be able to be here every Sunday. And then the last idea on the last page deals with something called planned giving. Alan and I, for example, have already prepared our wills and made a bequest to St. George in that will. And even younger families should be thinking in terms of their families, their estates, the care of their children, how they want their funds to be handled in the future. So there's a whole bunch of things covered by the concept of stewardship. And then on the green sheet over here, there's one side to be filled in and the other one. One side has to do with treasure, which is your money, and how you feel you can contribute to St. George. And remember that our costs go up every year just like everybody else's do. And on the other side, something that we may not think about as much, your time and your talent and all the different areas that you might be willing to support. Father Leonard mentioned the five. We need a lot of people to volunteer their time to help with worship, with pastoral care, with building community or fellowship, with learning, and with outreach. And the estimates that we've made is that it takes about 10,000 hours a year of volunteer time to help to support this parish. That's the equivalent of five full-time people. And without people to, you know, to help to fold bulletins, to be on the altar guild, to sing in the choir, to do this, to do that, to work on outreach, and the many, many other areas which are all outlined here on the back part of this green sheet, things would not move forward as they do now, and we would not be able to grow in the future. So we ask you to think very prayerfully about these things. Please fill this out and try to get it back to the church in the envelope in the next couple of weeks before Christmas. That will be your Christmas gift to the church. And don't forget to change the pages in your bulletin. I'm sorry about the... we're going to speak very sharply to our photocopier. Our photocopier is the one that collates and staples, and clearly it needs to be tuned up a little bit.
Thanks to the team that's been working diligently to put all of this together, spearheaded by Geraldine. I wanted to let you know that the ushers will have a package for you, an envelope with your name on it, if for any reason, and they're filed in alphabetical order by last name. Alphabetical order by last name. And if you don't have one there, let one of the ushers know and we'll be sure to get your package if there isn't one for you. Thank you very much. God bless.